Good morning to all of you. We thank God for this opportunity that we can come here to worship Him and also to listen to His Word. Today, we are continuing to study on the theme of heroes of faith. And we want to see how a person comes to Christ and thereafter exercise his or her faith. And of course, today we are going to talk about Lydia. And first of all, let us see how Lydia was converted. Lydia was converted during the second missionary's journey of Paul. After the missionary team visited the churches which they had planted during their first missionary journey, Paul and his companions, who were his companions, Silas, Timothy, and Luke, three of them were his companions, were directed by the Holy Spirit to go to Troas. At Troas, Paul saw a vision of a Macedonian man said to him, "Come over into Macedonia and help us." In response to the Macedonian vision, the missionaries set out for Macedonia, convinced that God had called them to preach the gospel to the people there. Luke records the details of their routes to Macedonia, the verses that we have read just now. However, I read to you again. Luke says, "Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony, and we were in that city abiding certain days." After their first few days in the city, Paul and his team carried out their normal practice, first preaching in the synagogue, but they found none in Philippi. According to the Jewish tradition, there had to be a quorum of at least 10 males, head of the household, before a synagogue could be formed. If this requirement could not be met, the faithful were to meet under the open sky, near a river or sea. And here Luke says, "And on the Sabbath day, we went out of the city by a riverside, where we supposed there was a place of prayer, and we sat together." Paul and his team found only women gathering by the riverside. This is an indication of how small the Jewish population was at that time in Philippi. The women met to read and to discuss the Old Testament law and also to pray. However, there was no man to lead the meeting and to teach them. So this was a divine appointment for the missionary to meet them. And we continue to read Luke chapter Acts 16, 14 and 15. Luke says, "And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when he was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, "If it were judge me, if ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there." And she constrained us. That was what Luke says. Now here the Holy Spirit inspired the author of Acts. Acts was written by who? By Luke. To single out one of the women. And he says, "And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira." The description was very specific, right to the point. Why? I must mention all these things. I believe there were many persons or ladies called Lydia. There are many people called my name, James. One day I look at the directory, wow, so many of them. Which James? And here, very specific, the name is mentioned, the occupation is mentioned, a seller of purple. And thirdly, the hometown is mentioned. Where is it? The city of Thyatira. Very specific. Now, Lydia may not have been her personal name. How do we know? Why was he called Lydia? Answer. Thyatira, ancient names, was Lydia. All right, that was the ancient name, Lydia. She took that name for herself and also for her company. She may have also known as a Lydian lady. Now, Thyatira, a city renowned for its purple dye. According to John MacArthur, he says this, "That kind of dye which came either from the murex shellfish or mother plant was extremely expensive to produce and was used in purple garments worn by royalty and the rich. Therefore, the selling of purple fabrics was very profitable enterprise." And Lydia was in this trade. Probably Lydia was in charge of a branch office of her company in Philippi, the head office in Thyatira. And she was in charge of an office in Philippi. I believe that God had brought her all the way from Thyatira to Greece so that she might hear the gospel and be converted. So her conversion was directed by God. God called and he directed the person to the place to hear the gospel. Lydia had a large house which had many rooms for the missionary to stay. And the last verse in verse 15 says, "And eventually a young church was established in her home at Philippi." So the Philippian church is worshiping at Lydia's home. Obviously, Lydia was a rich businessman, successful businessman. Now, in our study today, we want to see how Lydia was being converted. There are three aspects concerning Lydia's conversion, which we want to consider. First of all, in Acts chapter 16, verse 14, tells us that she was a worshipper of God. Right? She was a worshipper of God. She was a Gentile who was not a fully Jewish proselyte. That means she had not fully joined the Jewish religion. All right? She attended. Perhaps like some of you come to the church, but not a full Christian, not a Christian at all, but just come and see and seek God. And Lydia was one of them who went to be with the Jews to seek the true and living God. And here, the Lord Jesus Christ had something to say to those people who have desire to seek God, desire to know the truth. And this is found in John chapter 6, verse 44, 45, and 47. These are three verses which I'm going to speak to you right now from the Gospel of John. Let us open to the Gospel of John chapter 6, verse 44 and 45. These two verses we read in unison, and the last verse is 47. Okay, John chapter 6, verse 44. Here the Lord Jesus says, No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. And they shall be all taught of God, every man therefore that had heard and had learned of the Father, cometh unto me. Verse 47. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Now, can you name four of the verbs mentioned here in verse 45, 44 and 45? These are important words. Four verbs. The first one, what do you find? Okay, I tell you the first one. Draw. Okay, draw. Verse 44. The second one, who can tell me? Second one is taught. Right? Taught. Verse 45. And the third one, you should be able to say now. What is that? Heard. You see that? And the last one, learn. These are very important words. In other words, it tells us that the Father is the initiator. He's the attractor and also the teacher of every person who comes to Christ. Therefore, no one can claim to have come to Christ by his own initiative, by his own volition, by his own power. That is, no one can claim that he came to Christ by his own effort. Jesus says, if the Father draws, the person comes. This is the clear teaching backed up by the prophets. All right? And found in verse 45, it says, it is written in the prophets. And the verses are in Isaiah chapter 54, verse 13, Jeremiah 31, verse 34, and Micah chapter 4, verse 2. All these combined together is found in the teaching here. The Father draws a person, help the person to start to hear the gospel and help the person to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now the Lord Jesus Christ make it plain. Anyone who believe in Jesus, anyone who come to Jesus, what did he say, verse 47? Verse 47 say what? He that believeth on me, what? Have everlasting life. This is the promise that Jesus gives to anyone who comes. Who come. I want you to note also this promise, have everlasting life. When do you have everlasting life? You have everlasting life now. The moment you believe, God give it to you. All right? Now, I must say one thing, everlasting life is not long life. All right? It's spiritual life, the kind of life God wants you to have so that you will be with him forever. when you leave this world. To make it simple, that is the meaning of everlasting life. Spiritual life, long life. So you do not need to wait until you die, then you have everlasting life. Now you already have it. You have this spiritual life, you can commune with God. Some people wonder about the eternal fate of those who never hear the gospel. Right? They wonder what will be their future. Now, Lydia's conversion demonstrates that God reveals the gospel to those whom he causes to seek him. Jesus says, "All that the Father giveth me, what, shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." John chapter 6, verse 35 and verse 35 and 37 says all these things. In other words, all those whom God has elected shall come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Only those elected by God can come to the Son and believe in him. Now, please don't ask me who are the one we do not know. Only God knows. All right? Only God knows. This is only God's plan. He just tell you the master plan. And I want you to take note of this verse carefully. John chapter 6, verse verse 37, okay? Verse 37. I can't read my handwriting. Verse 37 says, all that is plural. Is plural. Corrective is a corrective word. All is a plural, okay? And it's a total collective entity of all believers, those who are elected. We do not know their names. And the Lord, these are the people who will believe in Jesus. Him that cometh to me, the word him is singular. It's singular. God has elected so many of them, we do not know who they are, but singular. Singular. Him that cometh to me, I will no wise cast out. This refers to a person who responds to the gospel, come and believe in Christ. And when he comes to Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ says, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. In other words, don't worry whether you are elected or not. All right? Because you don't know. No one knows except God knows. But when you respond to the gospel call, when the message is preached to you and being touched by the Spirit that, oh, he's speaking to me, I must respond. And when you respond, Jesus promised to you. What did he say? Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. No wise. I will never cast you out. Now, look at the conversion of Lydia. The example here. Go back to Acts 16, verse 14. Lydia, first of all, was sent to Philippi to open the office. Okay? From there, he had the opportunity to hear the gospel, to meet the missionaries. And then, number two, here it tells us, Lydia attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. Chapter 6, verse 14. In other words, Paul shared the word of God with her. Share. Paul did not preach. Share. You see? Share, like talking to her. And she listened attentively to the word of God. And the Lord opened her heart. The Lord opened her heart to respond to the thing spoken by Paul. And she responded. She praised her faith in Christ, believed, and she was saved. She was saved. You see? And here it tells us that it tells us something. Lydia's responded to the gospel confirms the truth that God is absolutely sovereign in salvation. In other words, salvation is the Lord. God is the source of salvation. Not us, not any other person. So if you want to be saved, you must respond to the gospel call, to what God has asked you to do so. And so, why do I say that? Well, in Acts chapter 13, verse 48, tells us that when Paul first visited Antioch in Pisidia, the Gentiles heard the gospel. And they were very glad. They were very glad. They were saved. And the last part tells us that as many as were ordained to eternal life believe. They were saved because God had chosen them. God had chosen them. So my friend here, it tells us one thing that I want to emphasize is that if God did not open the hearts, the people, if God did not open the hearts and draw the people to himself, no one would be saved. This is a clear teaching of the word of God. And so we know this is Lydia's conversion. The Lord direct her from Thyatira to Philippi, sent Paul to share the gospel to her, and she listened attentively, she responded, and she was saved. How do we know? How do you know that she was saved? All right. We are talking about Lydia's conversion. How do we know? Well, first of all, we can see her faith, and we can see her transformation in her life. First of all, she obeyed the Lord's commandment. She was saved. She truly believed. Immediately said, "Paul, please, I want to be baptized." She wanted to be baptized. And that's not all. The whole household all also wanted to be baptized. And Paul baptized her and her whole household right on the spot in the river near the place of prayer. That's the first signs of a person being converted. If you are true Christians and you have not been baptized yet, this is one sign that will tell you whether you are truly a Christian or not. If you are truly a Christian, you must obey the Lord. The Lord said, baptize. Accept baptism, and you must obey. Although baptism is not a means of salvation, but it is something that God wants us to do to identify ourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and with the people. So Lydia has done that. Secondly, Lydia became a new person. She ministered hospitality to the missionaries. Luke described what happened in Acts chapter 16, verse 15. Here she Luke says, she urges us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay. He invites the missionary to her house, voluntarily, willingly. And not only that, she urged them, persistently urged them, come, please come. She really means business. She insisted the missionaries to stay at her house. Now, why? Well, we must know the background. In those days, Christian hospitality were crucial, where most hotel or motel or inns were unfit for believers to stay. Such places were usually dirty, unsafe, or expensive, and often were brothels, were not a good place for a missionary to stay. And therefore, the Bible commands us to show hospitality to the Lord's people. And here we see Lydia show hospitality to Paul and his teams. So, dear friends, these are the evidence that we can find that Lydia was converted. First, she accepted baptism. Secondly, she showed her love to God's people by showing hospitality. And there are many scripture verses tell us that we should show hospitality to those who need a place to stay. And Lydia was the one who had done that. So in my conclusion, how did Lydia came to Christ? First of all, he seek God. He didn't know where to find God. So he went to the Jewish community, joined them, hoping to learn something from them. This is the first thing. And secondly, the Lord gave her the opportunity to hear his word, and she responded. Lydia's example is an example for those who are seeking God. Anyone who follows her path will not be disappointed because God has promised. In Jeremiah 29, verse 13. All right, I read this in ESV. Here it says, you will seek me. God says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. In other words, when you come to God with all your heart, wanted to know more about him, and God will answer you, will respond to your need. So, dear friend, this is a message to all those who are here. You have been attending church for quite some time. We do not know about your salvation, whether you are truly saved or not. The Lord knows. And you yourself will know. If the Lord calls you, come to him. Come to him for salvation. And Jesus says, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. I will never cast a person out. Will not throw the person away. I will receive him. And he will have everlasting life. Will you do that? If you are still outside the door of salvation, come to the Lord Jesus Christ.